Welcome to the prolific teaching ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Iren, lead pastor of Celebration Church International. It is his vision to partner with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Ready, set, grow.
I've been asked to speak on the unstoppable move of God through strong families. I don't take this privilege for granted at all. It is a big deal. One of the biggest deals of my life. Glory be to God. Genesis chapter 18, verse 17. Genesis 18, verse 17. I don't know what the brothers read before, so I'll give them another chance. Have you got it? All right, let's go. Genesis 18, 17. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? This reboot camp, I know that many of us have come to say, Lord, what is my role in your unstoppable move? What do I ought to know? How do I align myself to the unstoppable move of God in my day, in my industry, for my generation, for ministry, in politics? And yesterday, Apostle spoke about prophetic pictures. So now, this is somebody, he's not going to meet God. God, tell me, Alpha, what's next? What's next? God himself is saying, I don't hide what I'm about to do from this person. So it means there's something we can learn from him. He says in verse 18 that Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and that all nations on the earth will be blessed through him. God is speaking about this man so matter-of-factly. Why? Everybody read verse 19 once you go. Wait. Abraham most likely had a prayer life, yes? He was very benevolent, right? He used to give a lot to the poor. He was full of faith. But now God is saying, I'm not going to hide what I want to do from this man. And this is the reason he gives. He says, I've chosen him that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord. One of the reasons why I've chosen this guy is because he will be a good dad. I came to this camp meeting to hear a deep word. And I'm hearing one girl with small voice talking about family. But you need to understand something, that prophecy can give you something and the wrong relationship can mess it up. Ask Samson now. When you get to heaven, ask him, Baba, what happened to your hair? Ask Solomon. You can get something by prophecy, by prayer. You can get a generational blessing by the consecration of your father. You can get a kingdom passed down to you if you don't marry well. And marrying well is beyond the person is nice. Jezebel was so nice to Ahab. So nice. He came back one day, he didn't eat. There's even a lesson to learn there. As a Bible-believing wife, Jezebel knows when her husband does, she says, how can you, a whole king, my Odogu, not eat? You must understand that meetings like this, sessions like this, they are part of spiritual warfare. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Say, my family will be better for it after this meeting. God, family is God's strategy for his unstoppable move. I'll say that again. Family is God's strategy for his unstoppable move. How do I know? The first time God ever spoke to a human as recorded in scripture was in Genesis 1 verse 28. And this is the first time we record God, the divine God, speaking to human beings. And he says that God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. I know you know how biology works. One person can't be fruitful alone. Have you ever been in a situation where you told someone to give you two pets, one male, one female? You now put two of them together so they can breed, only to realize that they gave you two female. So the first time God gives a word, this is a word for all mankind. He gives it to a family. Apostle has taught us about protevangelium, the first announcement of the gospel. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her, talking to the serpent. He said, and he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. And this was foretelling that Jesus was going to come. Imagine if Adam and Eve said, do you know what? The way this economy is, we don't want children. We just want to enjoy ourselves. We are the only ones on the earth. Hey! Just two of us. Life is not that deep. Sometimes, your role in this end time unstoppable move is part of it is having children. Just leave it there. That's not what they sent me. He said, this, our love is so sweet. Just we and the garden. How will the Messiah come? Even Eve in her fallen states, she knew. By the time she started receiving her son, she was naming them names that made her think, that made us think that she thought one of them was going to be the Messiah. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Are you learning something today? Throughout scripture, many times when God wanted to raise a man, shift a generation, cause a change, deliver a nation, he spoke to a family. How was Moses raised? You have given birth in a time where they are killing all the children. Then you and your husband say, this child is a goodly child. You have to understand, everybody's child is a goodly child to them. Some children, all children are beautiful. Some are more beautiful after they are grown. But every newborn is the most beautiful being on earth to their parents. But Jochebed and her husband decide, we are going to keep this boy in this house for 3 months. A three-month-old child is not quiet. It was a partnership. Are you learning something today? God wanted to raise Samson, spoke to Manoah and his wife. I'm going to come to that. And when Jesus was about to be born, we see the case of Mary and Joseph. You know, you can imagine the kind of person that Joseph was. The Bible says that when he thought Mary was cheating on him, he wanted to put her away quietly because of the kind of person that he was. In this day and age, a church girl does you wrong. Twitter we hear before Apostle we hear. You post it. Scandal. May the Lord help us all. It's a scandal. God help us. We need to pray. Things are happening. You will hear outside. But Joseph wanted to put her away quietly. It wasn't just because of the fact that he loved her. It was because of who he was. Praise the name of Jesus. Are you learning something today? I'm going to share some key points and then we're going to spend some time praying. Number one, choose well. Help me scope one single person around you. What is, if you think they are single, some people are marrying tomorrow, you think they are single. Advise them for me. Say, choose well, oh. 1 Samuel 25. I was here during prayers, I didn't hear these voices, so. 1 Samuel 25, verse 3. 1 Samuel 25, verse 3, we'll read it together. Let me see if you're following. It says that the name of the man was Nabal and the name of his wife was Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and beautiful appearance, a complete speck. And because of how wise Abigail was, her husband Nabal became wise. Check now. Is that not what it says in your Bible? It says, but the man was what? So no matter how wise, for the Bible to call someone wise, know that the wisdom is a lot. No matter how wise Abigail is, her wisdom cannot cure the foolishness of Nabal. Please, marry well. I've seen cases where people have made a mistake in marriage, and by the mercy of God, they're still able to fulfill destiny. But life is easier when you marry well. I can testify. The Bible says in Psalm 68, verse 6, that God settles the solitary in a home. I know that yesterday when Apostle was prophesying in this direction, it was very interesting, but I hope you caught something. He says, none will lack their mates. I need to go to where the single people are. None will lack their mates. You may have been heartbroken before. The Holy Spirit himself will put you together and then he will compensate you. You see, when Apostle made that declaration yesterday, I saw something in my spirit. Next reboot camp. Hey. Hey. Many people may have come without a ring. But do you know what I'm hearing ringing? Wedding bells. Hey. In the name of Jesus. God can connect you for his namesake, and he will. He will. But in the meantime, while you are single, fulfill all the counsel of God. It's better for you to be single than to marry the one that will just truncate your destiny. But the beautiful thing about God is that he can give you someone that is your speck and his speck. Not the one I'm attracted to does not fear God, and the one that fears God I'm not attracted to them. But at the end of the day, see, I know life, physical attraction is important. Not that somebody will marry fine husband, they can't advise you otherwise. But beyond, please pay attention. Beyond the way people look, you must be able to discern people by grace. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You must be able to discern people by what? If you discern someone by their pocket, you have missed it so much. I can't explain to you how much you may have missed it. Discern people by grace. Some of you have friends. That person is your friend. Good character. They are even fine. They just need to know how to dress small. Say, I can't marry my friend. You will not marry your enemy. So you choose character. Hello. Choose character. Choose with God. Choose someone that loves you. Choose someone that doesn't see marriage as an opportunity to fight against the other gender for all the things they did to him or her in the past. That's not what marriage is about. It's about oneness. Praise the name of Jesus. We need to move fast. Number two, reject negative patterns. I will dwell here a bit. I'm going to make sure I keep the time today. Reject negative patterns. There are two ways to reject negative patterns. One is by prayer, which we're going to do today. And two is by wise and timely action. You see, something very interesting happened in David's lineage. David slept with Bathsheba. His son, Amnon, slept with his daughter. His other son, Absalom, killed Amnon. Then that same Absalom slept with David's concubines in public. David had 8 wives. His son Solomon had, had 700 wives, 300 concubines. How do you know them by name? They were wearing ID card. Or by number. We'll just outside when we are done. But let me ask a question. May I? Good. If you are here and you have a parent or grandparent that had more than one wife, let me see your hand. Officially or unofficially? Down. You know how people say things like, I want to touch on this a little bit. You know how people say things like, African men can't be faithful? Of course, it's not true anyway. Thankfully, we have lots of faithful men. Glory be to God. But I want to point you to something. The power of an example. Almost 75% of people in this room are either first or second generation monogamists. That means that many of us have not seen the example of one man, one wife before. Maybe you saw it, but your father did not see it. And because they didn't see it, they couldn't really adjust what I'm trying to say. So when we are breaking negative patterns, there is a place of prayer. But you must also be able to decipher these things and respond with wisdom. Do you understand? If you realize, as a lady, that there is a way you talk to your spouse that can make the man cry, check your mom. I'm not even, don't go and tell your husband that it's from my mother, just check. One of two things will happen, is either your mom was like that, or she was the opposite. To the point that you said, in my life, no man will ever what? Speak to me this way. Many of us are moving from trauma and we don't know. Just because your trauma is the opposite of your parents' trauma. I want a wife that works. Because my mom never worked. So I want my wife to what? Make sure that she's at the top of her. You might not even know when you have pushed a woman beyond her limits. I want a wife that does not work because my mom used to work and didn't have time for us. So you carry somebody's child. You pour water on their dreams and ambitions. Recognize it. See, people that are coming from a different lineage can afford to be careless. But not you. When you know where you are coming from, you will take better heed to yourself. If there is a history of anger, for example, in your family, there are some things you need to deal with in prayer, in therapy, in the word of God. Do you follow me? Establish and bring an end to negative patterns. You are learning something today. It also means that you must surround yourself with good examples. With good examples. You cannot allow Twitter to shape your view on marriage. More businesses fail than marriages fail. Ask any entrepreneur beside you. They've seen a lot. Ha! 75% of businesses fail in the first 2 years. When you want to start a business and you go for a seminar and they say, who is speaking today? You say, is that guy? He failed 10 times. Has he succeeded now? No. But he's here to advise us. You are new. But when it comes to marriage, you will go to the one that they broke their heart into pieces. They will not advise you. Right. Men ask for me. Write it. Praise the name of Jesus. Marriages work on your own will work in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Next thing I want to focus on. Speak the language of love above your of God above your love language. Don't look at me, write it. Pierre, what do you mean? Sometimes we are too spiritual about this. Let's be practical. You can't be more practical than the God who created marriage. So love languages are good. Maybe we'll talk about it as code. Today, speak the language of God above your love language. What do I mean by that? Let me show you 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel 6. At this time, David has just one wife. Her name is Michal. You know the story. Her father's died. Michal, David has become king. He's married to Michal. Should have married her elder sister, but somehow, they pulled a reverse, Leah and Rachel on him. And here we are. Let's pay attention. 2 Samuel 6. So now the ark of God has returned after a long, arduous journey and is returned to Israel. Please read verse 15 once you go. How many Israel? I know the language is not correct. I'm diaspora audience. What I mean is, how many Israel? All. Please read verse 16. Where was the window? Was it on where all Israel was? It was on a what? A different. So God was here. Eh? On this side, he's coming in. Michal is where? Watching through a window. Please read the rest of it for me. Okay, please. And when you read, don't rush. When you read verse 20, just help me read the first sentence, the first part until we get to and. Okay, my own has a one comma, one and. What did David return to do? Okay. Please follow me. It's a sensitive time for Michal. It's not been long that father died. And they brought this boy that is not of royal blood to come and be what? The king. So everybody celebrating. God is up to something, but this babe is in her feelings. He should be able to read my words, body language. And know that I'm not in the mood for celebration. Well, you're king, nice. There is a way you can get so caught up in your feelings, your emotions, you will miss what God is doing in your marriage. David returned to bless his household. Michal came and said and changed the thing to curse. Think with me for a moment. Because now, this changes the dynamics of your relationship forever. And I'm not saying that anybody should be careless in the way they talk to their spouse. You will learn love languages. What I'm saying is, in a marriage, God is up to something. You must see it. Imagine, this child or this lady, Michal, is a descendant of who? Saul, Abi. If her marriage went well with David and they gave birth to a child, would that child be the grandchild of Saul? Okay, let's move on. You get what I'm saying, Abi? Let's move on. Marriage is more than emotions. God is up to something. I like to teach this particular one a lot. Genesis 18. Genesis 18. Before now, Abraham has run into three strangers that he doesn't know from Adam. And he says, please come to my house and eat. If you are a husband, you already know that wives hate that thing. You just come home with somebody unannounced. He said, please come to my house. Come and eat. And I promise you, it gets better. Praise the name of Jesus. It gets better. Verse 6. He said, so Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. And what did he say? That's a word from... What did he say? Hey? In this modern day, BC 300, Abi, which time were they? You speak to a modern woman, quick. Hey! Not this is, you have to first of all introduce her to the men. This is the only sugar in my tea. The only cockroach in my cupboard. I know she might look 18, but she's in her 90s already. A babe, I stand. Treat with respect. This guy said what? Don't lie. If it's some of us, angel there outside won't deliver picking. You and your spouse are arguing. What do you mean quick? Yousef, what do you mean by quick? Then you brought them home. You did them, is it not my house? It's also your house. And two of us have the house. Then you wait 1 year, the day that is supposed to be Isaac's 1 year birthday. And I say, God, you have not fulfilled your promise to my family. When the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians, not to be ignorant of the devil's devices, it was not a call to prayer. It was a call to forgiveness. Because that's how the enemy works. I heard a story of a couple waiting for a child. And they had gone to the doctors, and the doctor said, nothing is wrong with you. But no child was coming. And then one time the Lord opened their eyes by the Spirit, and they saw every time the lady was ovulating, they will fight. What is ovulating? If you are above, Google it. And because they fight, they will not what? Worship. And when you don't worship, you cannot bear fruit consistent with what? Because the thing is that God can reward openly. Rejoice, people. I'll show you one more example under this point, and then we'll move on. Judges 13. An angel appeared to Manoah's wife and told her, you're going to get pregnant. When you're pregnant, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Then you're going to have a son. When you have that son, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And so she went and she told her husband. And her husband, they say, is it only you that God speaks to? She went and told her husband, she didn't say, if God wanted him to know, he should have told him himself. That's why this man is not prayerful. She went and told her husband. And the man prayed and said, pardon your servant, Lord, I beg you, verse 8. Let the man you sent come again and teach us how to bring up the boy. God heard Manoah. Who did God hear? But the angel of the Lord came again to who? Somebody like this angel, you have been around for long. You ought to know that you come and talk to me. What? You talk to me man to man. He says, but her husband was what? Not with her. Actually, he said, he's not here. Just carry on. If you don't handle what God has told you, you can use that same thing to destroy your home. If you don't handle it with wisdom, I want to minister to women. Tell them how to build their home. The husband said, let's wait. He said, no. The Lord has called me to build homes. Then you go. To build other people's home. While not being... Hey, the things of God are deep. But when you are aligned, you will bring forth much fruit. When you speak the language of God, there is oneness. Have you ever rushed? Those of us ladies that don't, I'm not referring to Pastor D. Pastor D is always on heels. But those of us like regular ladies that can't wear heels all day. You carry slippers in your, you carry the heels in your bag, then you wear the slippers. I just when I used to go to church from first act to a cotton, that's how I used to do when I entered downfall. Have you ever been in a situation where you carried two left leg of shoe? That means that everything has its place. There cannot be oneness if you are struggling for your husband's place, this one is struggling for the wife. If you speak the language of God, the language of submission, the Bible way, and love, the Bible way, you will enjoy your home. Praise the name of Jesus. But that's why you must choose well, if you are single. Praise the name of Jesus. Next point I want to bring is establish memorials of consecration and legacy. Earlier, I read from the book of Joshua. They were about to cross the Jordan. On dry land, the Lord had parted the sea again. And he said, pick 12 stones. When your children ask you, there are some things by God's grace we try to do as a family. At least 2 holidays a year. One of them being, what's that one for lovers? Valentine's Day. We carry the children. We go to an orphanage. Spend time, visit. One day we almost forgot. They were the ones that reminded us. So you must learn to build. See, there have to be things that your children point to and say, this is what we do every year. This is what we say every day. You know, my boy is too, he rarely talks, but we have daily confessions. And one time he led us. Today, I'm led by the Holy Ghost. His voice is not as clear as that. He has a place to say, I'm wise, I'm kind, I'm protected. He said, antetete. I say, yes. Repeat after him. He said, shout glory, shout glory. See, what you know, teach your children. Establish memorials of consecration and of legacy. You know, Apostle said that the local church many times acts as an intervention plan for what many homes have failed to do. Your children should learn the gospel from you. They should learn giving from you. You see that phrase, when your children ask you, it's in like 4 different places in scripture, so important to God. Exodus 12, 26, 27. Exodus 13, 8. 13, 14. Deuteronomy 11, 19. And Joshua 4, I read to you earlier. Next point is to teach in words and deed. You know, there's something Jesus teaches in Matthew 23, 23. And he's talking about something else, but I think it's such an important instruction when it comes to balance. He says, let me show that to you, Matthew 23. He says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, but you have neglected more important matters. Please, can you read the last sentence there once you go? This you ought to have done without what? This is beautiful. I may not know much about the devil being in the details, but if you look at the extremes, you'll find him there. So there are parents who only want to teach in words. And there are parents who only want to teach in what? Deeds. You must do both. Say, you know, I want my children to make their own choice by themselves when they grow up. They can choose whether to join morning devotion on 12:30 or 12 noon. But they must join one. Because none of us are waiting until our children get to a seat and decide if they want to have an education. Or if they want to be clean, if they want to have a bath. We're not seeking their approval to know the kind of food to give them. Teaching words and in deeds. Praise the name of Jesus. When you have family devotion is not a time to begin to nitpick what every child is doing wrong. I think, where are the seniors on this side? So I'm going to face this side. Mommy's and so you won't think I'm talking to you. I remember someone, the man had been unfaithful to the mom so many times. Yet he stopped her from wearing lipstick, the child. What kind of example do you want to be? I know something happened in your childhood that makes you behave a certain way. The problem is that you are now the author and finisher of another person's childhood. I spoke to someone in counseling one day. I said, this thing makes sense. You are like this because of the way you grew up. But what do you want your child to say? So you must be an example. It's important. But you must also teach in words. What's the number one point I gave? Let me see if you're following. Number two. Number three. What you said. Number four. Number five. Yeah. Number six. Just my second to the last point. Love and affection. Second Peter 1:7 tells you what the things to add to your faith: virtue, knowledge, self-control, godliness. But then it says brotherly affection, and it adds love. Because for some of us, we know how to love our children by providing. Abi, if I don't love you, will I be going to work every day? We know how to love our children by sacrificing. There's a friend's mom who is here. Her dad passed when she was young. Her mother did not buy a new cloth until all of them graduated from university. Sacrifice. And as a parent, that's a good thing. My parents never lived in their own home until we had done masters and married. Everybody. There was a time my husband shares about how my father-in-law was sick. He was almost unconscious from the bed. He was saying, "My children, my children, my children." And it is good that we love sacrificially. It's so important. But now I want to teach you something else. Your children must know that you love them without needing much discernment. Tell them. Tell your sons you love them. Tell your daughters that you love them. You know, Apostle gave me the permission yesterday to speak about that home for former prostitutes I went to. The stories were so sad, but there was a common thread. None of those people I spoke to that day was loved at home. There was one, it was the father that sold her to Dubai. Sold her to go and do prostitution. But now the Bible says that we should be tender-hearted. How do we know that Christ loves us? He died for us. He's already died, but he's still intentional enough to communicate that love. So many scriptures in the Old and New Testament telling us about how much he loves us, even though he has already died to show it. Your case will be different. In the name of Jesus, you must prioritize that marriage, that home, that family, as part of the unstoppable move of God. And so my final point today before we pray will be to do marriage and family as unto the Lord. You will give account to God. You know, I always laugh when people say, "I can never marry a pastor." Because let's assume you actually marry somebody that's not a pastor, a believer. God, who made him or her, cannot call their son or their daughter. Because they married you, you are in trouble. You will give account to God about how you treated that man, about how you treated that woman. You must understand it. If you are here in this meeting and policemen come and you say they are looking for you, no matter how brave you are, your heart will shake. What did I do? Even ordinary, your friend tells you, "I want to tell you something tomorrow." You would have just waited. But now, you are going to give account to God about how you treated that person. They might answer your surname, but they don't belong to you. You might have access to all their money, but they don't belong to you. They belong to God. Please rise to your feet. We're going to pray for the next 2 minutes. I want to give you an opportunity, if it is possible, can you stay around members of your biological family? Find your wife. Find your husband. No, not the one you are claiming by faith. The real one. If you can, if you are serving, don't worry. If you are serving and you can't move, find your brother. Find your sister. Okay, let's do this. Because of time, begin to pray in the Holy Ghost as you are finding them. I might even give you permission to do a video call if you can. Find your sibling, find your mom, find your dad. Sa Kayate. Two prayer points in 1 minute and 20 seconds. Say, by the power and the wisdom of God. You're not praying like you're ready. Say, by the power and the wisdom of God. We bring an end to negative patterns in our marriages, in our family, in our lineage, and we replace them with patterns of love, patterns of spiritual legacy, patterns of peace. Pray in the name of Jesus. For some of you, it's patterns of fruitfulness. Thinking that everybody struggles to have a child. Bring an end. The generation of the errands are blessed. For some of you, it's one illness or the other. For some of you, it's a fact that marriages don't seem to work. Bring an end in the name of Jesus. That pattern. Now begin to replace. As a family, we play our part. Unstoppable move of God. If Jesus tarries for the next 100 years, 200 years, the impact of my family on the gospel, on generations, on nations will still be felt. That's the same way Paul said to Timothy, this sense was in your mother and in your grandmother. It will be said concerning my family. And for those of you that are wondering, we don't know how to raise a child. Now we want the child. You are coming back next reboot camp with your baby. Ratatapateya. Remember Kosite. Zambilama Katoboya. Lepetebelepte. Hashatatio. Durable riches and righteousness. Lekatapatale Brondali Pleteke. Ratatatapi Kotopalate. A three-stranded cord is not easily broken. That cord is not you, your wife, and your mom. No. It's you, your spouse, and God. Except the Lord builds a house, the labor in vain that build it. Our labor over this family will not be in vain. You might be single, but the Bible says that none will lack your mate. That means you can begin by the power of the Holy Ghost to pray concerning your family. What do you want to see? Your children will ask you about tonight. Why is it that since we've been born, we've not faced poverty, we've not had to beg bread? Why is it that all of us know the Lord and we are surrounded with songs of deliverance? You are building a memorial tonight. and what will be known as a nation landmark. My family and I are part of the unstoppable move of God.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For inquiries, reach us on our helpline 0809 996 7000. Blessings.